Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are tuning in to the newest edition of the Punches MMA Podcast. It's your boy Dale Lippin in here. Trey is out for the evening, so I called an audible. When the boss is away, I will play fast and loose as I always do. I brought in a special guest. And for those of you that are OGs from way back in the day, I'm talking way back into time. Nah, baby. It's my brother, my legitimate brother, one and only. Soup is joining us for the show tonight. My man, how are you? It's been a long time since I've seen you. We talk every day, but I don't see you very often. You're just as ugly as I remember. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. I know last time you had to settle for John Anik when Trey was out, but I have, you know, graced you with my presence tonight.
You know what?
You got your number one draft pick filling in.
That's right. You know, here's the thing is, like, I decided I really, you know, Trey hit me up earlier in the day and said, hey man, I can't make the show. And I was like, do I try to throw a last second Hail Mary and get you, or do I go with the sure thing and John Anik? And I shot for the stars, or I shot for the moon, and I landed amongst the stars, I guess is the phrase. And you've graced me with your presence. Not only did you do that, you did so wearing a punchless shirt. We didn't even plan this.
Yep. There we go. There it is. Yep.
That super soft punchless shirt. If you guys aren't aware, those are made by a beautiful veteran owned all-American company, Allegiance Clothing. If you go to allegianceclothing.com, use promo code PUNCH. You can save 15% on the entire thing. A lot of people don't know this, but you had your driver's license picture taken wearing a punchless shirt.
I did. Actually, the original shirt I put on was the Tombstone shirt, but it's a size smaller than this, and I didn't want to flex on you, so I decided to go with the red one.
I understand. Now, that is high honor, and a lot of people say, you know, will say flattering things to us, but there's not a lot out there that's more flattering than wearing a shirt for a driver's license picture, because you've essentially immortalized that picture for what's Pennsylvania, 4 years, 5 years?
I have no idea. My last one was expired by a year and a half before I got this one taken. So
you're driving around with an expired license for a year and a half. That's good. That's
living about on the edge.
That's about the most on brand thing I can think of. That really is. So now that I've got you here, there's a ton of questions I want to ask you. I'm excited you're wearing the shirt. You bought a Traeger last year.
Yes.
Have you used it at all?
Yes.
Okay. What's your favorite thing to cook on your Traeger? Because we don't talk about food. We talk about a lot of things. We don't talk about food. What are you cooking on the Traeger?
I just broke it out a month ago, and I gave it, you know, the nice deep clean for the spring.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've perfected my New York strip steaks on it.
Okay.
I've got them down to a science now, and I was we had them last week on Tuesday.
Awesome.
And I was extremely satisfied.
Okay. So I'm going to take
I'm not an expert like you. I'm not making pork shoulders and rotisserie chickens every single night.
That's okay.
I'm getting there. I'm working my way up.
Well, here's the thing is this is what we got to do. We have to inspire you to elevated heights, right? To such great heights. And the only way to do that is we got to give you a higher quality meat. I know there's high quality meat in Pennsylvania, but it's not the quality that you get from the great state of Montana, Wyoming, Idaho. It's just the Mountain West, right? They have some of the finest free range cattle, beef, chicken on the planet Earth. And you can get that at Stay Classy Meats. If you go to stayclassymeats.com, use promo code FISH. You can save 10% on the entire thing. I'm going to talk to my boy Scott at Stay Classy. See if I can't get you a bigger discount than the 10%. Maybe 11%. I'm not making any promises, but I might be able to get you that 11% off. So I'm just saying. All right.
Yeah, don't go out of your way and do anything for your brother. I mean,
I will do nothing.
That's asking a lot of you.
I understand. Listen, you can come visit me whenever you want. I'll let you stay here.
Okay.
You can have a roof over your head whenever you want. All right. Let's talk about some of the things that happened this last weekend before we break down UFC 263. We can't spend a ton of time on it because UFC 263, if I'm not mistaken, is 15 fights, 14 fights, something like that. So we got a lot to talk about and not a lot of time to do it. But I do want to talk about some of the things that we saw this weekend, right? So we saw a main event heavyweight tilt between Jairzinho Rozenstruik versus Augusto Sakai that ended with 1 second left in the first round. Rozenstruik hit him with that death touch. What do we do with a guy like Rozenstruik, in your opinion? Because he's not good enough to beat the elite guys, but he's good enough to beat everybody else, it seems.
He's going to beat everybody in the weight class until he gets to the top three, and then he's going to get knocked back down, and I think that's just going to be the cycle of his career.
So he's just a gatekeeper. So he's just a very talented gatekeeper. Part. Okay. I got you. We thought the same thing about Derek Lewis for the longest time, but Derek Lewis has made himself a little run here and done so in electrifying fashion.
Derek Lewis has worked a lot on what his weaknesses were. It looks as if his cardio has improved drastically, and it almost looks like he knows what he's doing slightly on his back. He doesn't look like a fish out of water. I don't know.
He's just not panicking anymore, I think.
Panic wrestle. Right. Correct.
And then obviously the big story this weekend, Logan Paul taking on Floyd Mayweather. I'm going to talk about the Ocho Cinco fight for a second because I need my sound clip for this week. But we're not there yet. Let's talk about Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather. I'm not going to give this a ton of time because I think things like this are stupid, but I'm also not a curmudgeon-y old man in the sense that eyes on combat sports are good. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Rising tides raise all ships. I really think that this is good for the sport, although it is a spectacle. What was your big takeaway from Paul versus Mayweather?
Floyd was out there to get paid.
Yes. Yes.
Floyd was out there for a light workout, and that's all it was. There's no doubt in my mind. And there has been the clip that surfaced, when Floyd hits him with the right and then the uppercut left, and Logan Paul, I mean, it looks like he went to sleep, and it looked like Floyd held him up. Mm-hmm. And I think Floyd, you know, kept him up. And even after the fight, Logan Paul said, I think Floyd let me survive, and I want to thank him for that. They were both respectful at the end. Logan Paul's much more tolerable than his brother. Sure. Jake Paul's an absolute clown.
Yes. I would agree with that. I'd agree with that. Although I will say, I think Jake is the more talented of the two. I think Jake's the more talented of the two. Logan's obviously the bigger one. Logan said after the fight that he is a wrestler at heart, wants to try his hand at MMA. And lo and behold, Scott Coker just waiting in the wings, puts out a statement immediately after, says he's got a home at Bellator if he wants it. What do you think the odds are that we see one of the Paul brothers, probably Logan, compete, let's say within the next year in MMA?
I definitely think it's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw CM Punk compete in the UFC.
Sure. So that was like a two-year developmental thing that we got there.
Right. But Logan Paul, I mean, he's gonna sell pay-per-views, he's gonna sell seats 100%. He's got the social media following in today's day and age, it holds so much weight.
Now, that being said, when he fought Floyd Mayweather, he couldn't weigh more than 193 pounds, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So with a guy like that, do you have him fight a 185-pounder, or do you hope he can cut weight to 170? Because I got to be honest with you, 185, 205 and heavyweight, no matter what league you're in, no matter what promotion you're in, is usually a murderer's row. And you had mentioned the Tombstone thing earlier, right? Mm-hmm. Are you going to have Logan Pauls compete against the Taylor Johnsons of the world, the Gegard Mousasis of the world? What do you do with a guy like that? You can't feed him to 185-pounder seasoned veteran mixed martial artist. Where do you put that guy? Like that,
he wouldn't last 60 seconds.
Yeah.
But then again, can you have him cut to 170?
I don't think he can make 170. I mean, imagine.
Exactly. If he made 170, he'd look like in the Dillashaw.
Yeah.
His eyes would be sunk in his head.
Yeah.
It'd be a nightmare.
So, I mean, what do you put him up against Ed Ruth and just tell him that Ed can't punch him?
Ed Ruth would drag him with a rag doll.
I don't know what you do with the guy. The thing is, I think the skill disparity, right? Everybody's like, why are MMA fighters going to boxing and boxing, right? And everybody wants to talk about who's the best boxer in MMA. I got news for you. If you're interested in the argument of who the best boxer in MMA is, there's this really fucking cool sport called boxing. And you should watch that if that's what your concern is. Because yep. It's apples and oranges. They are not the same thing. So to say, oh, who's the best boxer in MMA? That is just an error-filled, silly argument to try to create dialogue, I suppose, because it's not the same thing. The strategy is different. The stance is different. The results are different. The volume is different. Everything is different. They are not comparable in any way. And it makes more sense for an MMA fighter to go and compete in boxing than it does a boxer to come compete in MMA. And we see this, and the reason why I'm saying this is because we're transitioning into this. Clarissa Shields is fighting this Thursday on PFL. We're talking probably the most decorated female boxer of all time is making her professional MMA debut for the PFL this week. How do we think Clarissa's going to do? Because I have severe reservations about what we're going to see on Thursday.
All right. Who's she fighting?
Let me see. I'll pull this. Yeah. Brittany Elkin.
She's fighting. Now,
go ahead.
If Brittany Elkin has any sort of wrestling or jiu-jitsu background, I see it ending poorly for Clarissa Shields. I mean, I don't understand how it's mixed martial arts versus one martial art. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I don't know.
Now, my thing with Brittany Elkin is this, right? Is her last, she has not fared well as a mixed martial artist, right? She's not very good. If we're being completely honest, she's not particularly great. As a professional mixed martial artist, she's 3-5, okay? As an MMA fighter. That being said, the last year or so, she's only been doing professional grappling events. So that's the whole thing that she's been focusing on is grappling for the last year. If I'm Clarissa Shields, I'm looking at this going, this girl ain't even going to try to throw hands with me. She's going to try to take me down. So I don't really know what we have here. This feels like the makings of a Kimbo Slice versus Seth Petruzzelli style fight. That's what this feels like. This feels like Kevin Ferguson versus Seth Petruzzelli, where all things point to murder. And somebody's going to shock the world doing something that they never should have done. A la my man, what was it? The gorilla? What did Seth Petruzzelli call himself? Was it the gorilla?
Yeah, the gorilla.
Seth Petruzzelli knocking out Kimbo, which effectively sunk, was it XFC? I don't think it's going to sink the PFL. Obviously, it won't if Brittany Elkin beats Clarissa Shields. But this is a huge step backwards, not only for Clarissa Shields' career if she loses, but also the idea of professional boxers being able to compete in the MMA landscape, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's just going to be, it's tough. It's like you said, it's a much easier, not easier, but it makes much more sense for mixed martial artists to go to boxing than it does for a boxer to come to the MMA world.
Gotcha. I would agree. Real quick, as far as Bellator is concerned, because we talked about Bellator, Taylor is not fighting on Friday. Those of you that were waiting for him to fight on Friday, his fight date actually got pushed to June 25th. He'll be on that card with an opponent yet to be determined. The guy cannot keep an opponent scheduled. Everybody that they schedule him to fight ends up dropping out. So it's something to keep in mind there. And if you guys listen to the Dober interview last week, where he talked about up-and-coming fighters out of Team Elevation. Taiwan Claxton fights on the upcoming Bellator card this weekend, so be sure to check him out. All right, man, you want to start breaking down some fights? You want to break down mm-hmm. some freaking fights? I know you were doing your homework. I'm excited for it. You usually come at me with some pretty off-the-wall stats that I'm usually never prepared for. I know them in my heart, but I don't know. I can't recall them the way you do, so this is going to be great. All right, Paul Craig at 14-4-1, taking on I'm going to go with Jamal because for some reason my tongue will not let me throw the extra A in there, the Jamahal. Jamahal?
Yeah, Hill. Jamil Hill.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that. My man Paul Craig, the Bear Jew, even though I don't even know if he's Jewish or not, I think maybe he just likes the name, is a +240 dog taking on Jamal Hill at a -300 over-under on rounds here. Soup is at 1.5, -115, both sides of that 1.5. To your note, I don't want to steal a stat from you because you said it to me offline. I'll let you lead in with this one, man. What do you got? Paul Craig, Jamal Hill.
So this is our first fight of the main card.
First fight of the main card.
And this will be the first fight of the night that is actually favored to finish inside the distance. The prelims and the early prelims, with the amount of fights on this card, plus, if the odds are correct, we could be in for quite a long night. We have 3 5-round fights to end the night, plus some fights that are going to go the distance. So Paul Craig's last win was against Shogun, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know how, I mean, yes, the name looks great, but a 39-year-old Shogun, I don't know how impressive that is.
Right.
But at the same time, Jamil Hill beat a washed up old OSP in his last fight.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm not an OSP fan.
Man. Okay.
But at a -300, I don't feel comfortable taking a young fighter at a -300 like that. I don't see any value in betting that. If I have to pick a winner here, it would be Jamil Hill, but at a -300, I don't see any value in betting him.
Yeah. So obviously the path to victory for Paul Craig is laid out. People know what he needs to do to win the fight, and that's to get it to the ground. A guy like Jamal Hill is going to try to maintain distance. Keep in mind, we're in the full size octagon this time. Mm-hmm. We're no apex. We've got a full crowd in front of us. And, you know, if OSP's washed up, that's probably news to OSP. But here's the thing. Jamal Hill went out there and he finished him. He finished him, mm-hmm. and he finished him in devastating fashion. That was a pick where I was on the OSP side. I liked the grizzled veteran against the young up-and-comer. And Jamal Hill went out there and put on an absolute clinic against OSP. He had his moments where he looked like he might be in trouble, but he went out there and ultimately got the job done. Paul Craig finds ways to win fights, right? He's one of those guys that you want to count him out every time. He's perennially the underdog in just about every fight that he's in, and he freaking finds ways to win. Which is frustrating if you're going against him, right? But if you're on him, you love it. The path to victory for Paul Craig is very easy. You got to get Hill to the ground, and you got to submit him. You're not going to win a stand-up battle. You're not going to win it. And a couple things that I want to pay attention to this is Paul Craig is notoriously fiery, right? Always comes in loud, boisterous energy, big personality, much like an Iwan Kutalaba. He always wants to bring the fight to you, always wants to try to get in your head. Nobody's done that to Jamal Hill yet. We don't know how he's going to react to that. Will that cause him to fight in a negative fashion? Empty the gas tank early, swing too heavy, whatever the case may be. Things like that, Paul Craig's going to be playing the mind games. He is an older guy. He is smart. He is weathered. He's a veteran. It's not the first time that he's fought somebody with better stand-up. Not the first time he's fought somebody that's faster. Damn sure isn't the first time that he's fought anybody that's supposed to kick the shit out of him. Paul Craig's been here before. Jamal Hill has not. Be interested to see if the experience of Paul Craig pays dividends. For my money, this is dog or pass. I'm not even throwing Hill into a parlay. It's too sketchy of a play. I have no desire to put him in there whatsoever. dog or pass, over under rounds at 1.5. I will say if you like Hill, play the under 1.5. If you like Paul Craig, play the over 1.5 or take them straight money line. That's it. Don't get cute with this. Dog or pass.
Yeah. I agree with that. I was going to say the over 1.5 as well. Because like you said, like if Paul Craig wants to win this fight, it will have to go to the ground, and that just spells a recipe for an over. Because we're not, if he does take him down, we're not going to see Jamal Hill, you know, submit him from his back. It's that's very, very, very unlikely.
For sure. For sure. I honestly, if I could get super cute with this, like just to be as cute as possible, I love the idea of Paul Craig submission, like with a head and arm choke, like a standing head and arm choke. They're up against the cage. Hill gets too crazy. Just for whatever reason, he grabs an arm. Just saying, I don't know, just in my mind, super cute. I don't know. Anyway, all right, let's see here. You know what's crazy too is Paul Craig says, like when Buffer announced him, that he's a kung fu fighter. How ridiculous is that?
The kung fu bear Jew.
The kung fu bear Jew. That's a better nickname than just regular bear Jew. I need kung fu bear Jew. That's a great. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. All right, next fight. On the main card, Damian Maia taking on Bilal Muhammad. Damian Maia at a plus 195. Bilal Muhammad at a minus 235. Over-under on rounds is at 2.5. Yet again, another one favor to go decision. Bilal Muhammad at 18-3 soup. Damian Maia at 28-10. This might be the last hurrah for Damian Maia. I don't necessarily think that after the domination he's about to receive from Bilal Muhammad, he's going to have much left to offer the UFC outside of this. What are your thoughts?
I'm going the fight to go the distance. Damian Maia, what it's so have either one of them had an impressive win in the past 4 years?
It depends on what you're deeming to be impressive. As far as opponent goes, honestly, I was very impressed. I was impressed with Bilal Muhammad beating Lyman Good. I'm big on Lyman Good. I like Lyman Good a lot.
Damian Maia beat Lyman Good too.
Yeah. And then Bilal Muhammad beat my boy, actually our boy, Tim Means. And you and I love some Dirty Bird. We love some Dirty Bird. So
yeah.
Wins that I'm impressed with from Bilal Muhammad, Lyman Good, and Tim Means, even though the Tim Means win was a split decision. Go ahead. Sorry.
So Damian Maia has notoriously good takedown defense, correct?
Yeah.
And Bilal Muhammad has been, as of his last five fights, miserable at taking people down. So stat for you, 6 of 43 in takedown attempts in his last five fights.
Bilal Muhammad, 6 of 43.
6 of 40. You would never think it, would you?
I wouldn't. I know. The visual in my mind is that he takes everybody down.
But so successful takedown attempts, 6 of 43. He's at a 26% clip. In his UFC career at takedowns.
Okay.
I can see, my gut is the over 2.5. I mean, if you want to play it to go the distance to get a little bit better odds, but I've got over 2.5 at a minus 170 to go the distance. I think it's a minus 135. I like the over in this fight. I think it's going to be slow. I think it's going to be boring. This will be a fight that I go make a plate of nachos.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to look back and think the last time that Bilal Muhammad got a win by finish was ground and pound against Augusto Montaño in 2016. So maybe he'll turn back the clock almost a year to the day, actually, whenever he fights Damian Maia. That was June 17th, 2016 is the last time that Bilal Muhammad finished a guy in the cage.
Well, didn't he finish Takashi Soto?
Oh, did he? Did I miss that?
I think he did. I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. A rear naked choke. I stand corrected. Never mind. Let me shut my mouth. He did. He finished Takashi Sato. You're absolutely right. Again, another dog or pass for me. This is going to be a broken record throughout the night because these are so lopsided. I am actually willing to consider Bilal Muhammad as a parlay piece here. I feel confident in his ability against Damian Maia. I don't necessarily think that he's going to get submitted. I think that he's strong enough, and I think that he puts enough pace on a guy like Maia that he can actually get it done without, you know, real threat of submission. Damian Maya's gas tank has been lackluster at best. I'm trying to be as complimentary as I can. It's not a great gas tank. It's really not. And Bilal Muhammad is known for pushing a pace, right? It's exactly that. He's going to go out there. He's going to try to push a pace. Whether he gets the takedowns or not, I'm interested to see, now that I know that stat, whether or not Damian Maia allows the takedown to happen and invites him down. We've seen that with Damian Maia before. Well, he will invite you to the ground because he wants to be there. So does Bilal Muhammad forego the takedown heavy approach, forego the clinch heavy approach, and just try to stay at range and throw hands? So that's it. That's an interesting dynamic that we may see. I'm not necessarily sold on it. I really think that this is going to be a ugly clinch heavy affair once they get nice and sweaty. I don't anticipate this fight. Like you said, this is the plate of nachos fight, which is saying a lot. I would lean Bilal Muhammad here, might throw him in with a parlay, but we'll see. I'm not overly happy with it. But like you said, over under rounds at 2.5. I love the over. A Bilal Muhammad over is like, well, a Bilal Muhammad over is like the used to be Kamaru Usman over. Now Kamaru Usman decided he wants to freaking finish everybody. So now we don't have that option anymore. But Bilal Muhammad is the male Caitlin Chookagian.
Yeah. I just want to give you these. So his fight against Diego Lima, he was 1-for-10 on takedowns. His fight against Lyman Good, he was 2-for-8. His fight against Jeff Neal, he was 0-for-7. And then his fight against Takashi Sato, he was 2-for-9.
I love it.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, and you wouldn't think it, but yeah.
Okay, I'm a big fan. All right, let's move on to the fight where we're probably going to lose most of the people that like our show. And well, here's the thing, right? As I've said this enough. If you're new here, welcome to the I Hate Nate Diaz show. Nate Diaz is taking on Leon Edwards. Nate Diaz at a +325, Leon Edwards at a -475, over under rounds at 4.5, -115 on the over under at 4.5 here. Here's the thing. Every book I can find has us at 4.5. I can't remember why they're doing a 5-round fight here. Is this like something that Nate Diaz worked into his contract because he knows that's the best way that he has a chance to win a fight is to fucking outlast people? Because he's not going to outstrike him. He's not going to outgrapple him. He's not going to out-wrestle him. Does Nate Diaz contain in his body a higher skill set in the realm of Brazilian jiu-jitsu? Yes. But is he strong enough, fast enough, or savvy enough to use any of it? Abso-fucking-lutely not. I do not like Leon Edwards either, but I like Nate Diaz 100 times less or whatever than I like Leon Edwards. Nate Diaz, and I'm going to say this, and you guys can hate me if you want, fucking sucks. He has not been good in years. In years. He was never
He hasn't fought in 2 years.
He was never an elite lightweight. He has never been an elite welterweight. He is not good at all. He only fares well whenever the styles make the fight. That's it. When you put him against anybody that is even remotely well-rounded, he looks so amateur and outclassed, it's unbelievable that he's as popular as he is. People buy into the hype that he needs to be popular, one, because he beat Conor McGregor, and two, because he talks like he's got a mouthful of oatmeal and forgets where he came from, and he thinks that he's some sort of gangster. I don't care if you gangster this, gangster that, stalked and slapped this, stalked and slapped these nuts. I don't care. I don't think you're very good as far as mixed martial artists is concerned. Maybe you were years ago coming out of the Ultimate Fighter, you were a force to be reckoned with. But every time the lights get bright, with the exception of the Conor McGregor one fight, you have failed to rise to the occasion. I'm just going to go ahead and go scorched earth here because that's how I really freaking feel. And I'm not sugarcoating the shit for people anymore. Nate Diaz ain't good. His name gives him the rank. His name gives him the fights. Not the skill. If you take Nate Diaz's performances and skills and put him in the body of, say, Jared Gordon, Jared Gordon's getting cut. It's that simple. Jared Gordon's getting cut if he goes out there and performs and looks and acts and performs like freaking Nate Diaz does. But no, because it's fucking Jared Gordon or because it's Nate Diaz, they just let him do whatever he wants. He ain't good, bro. He's not good. There it is. Good. Sorry. Leon Edwards by murder. He's going to kick his whole left side of his face is coming off. Edwards, yeah. Murder.
Yeah, I mean, well said. but Nate Diaz beat your second favorite fighter in the UFC.
Who?
Well, not in the UFC anymore.
Who?
Showtime.
Showtime's not my fucking out of here. I don't like Showtime at all. Don't do that. No. And here's the thing. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. The only reason why he beat Showtime is because Showtime broke his hand and didn't want to fight anymore.
Correct.
Showtime was fucking him up prior to breaking his hand. He literally broke his hand on his face. That's how much he was getting hit. I hit you so much that my bones failed me. Come on, man.
Yeah,
I'm frying that dude in the dust. Come on, man. It's over with.
He's going to pick him apart.
The biggest
fear when Leon Edwards fought Bilal Muhammad was the 2 years off. What kind of ring rust are we going to see? And Leon Edwards looked as sharp and as technical as he's ever looked. I mean, the guy was on point. Every single punch was quick. It was precise. Yes. And Nate Diaz and all that scar tissue is going to be leaking everywhere.
This is the Nate Diaz color. This is the Nate Diaz limited edition punchless shirt, because this is what his fight kit's going to look like when they're stretchering him out of the cage, dude. It's over with, man. It's over. Yeah. It's over.
And the line dictates that.
Yeah, absolutely. If you wonder how this fight's going to go back to the BMF title when Masvidal kicked him flush across the face, a la Mark Coleman, Pete Williams. For those of you who are new to the game, there's one to look up for you. Pete Williams beat Mark Coleman when he kicked him in the face with a fucking shoe on. That's what that looked like. He split his whole shit was split. Nate Diaz's eyebrow looked like Heath Ledger's mouth in the Batman movies. You want to know how I got these scars? I got kicked in the face. It was over with, man.
Looked like Marvin Eastman.
He looked like Marvin Eastman with that hatchet wound to his face from Vitor Belfort. That's another one for you youngins to look up, man. Mm-hmm. All you new, all these people posting that shit with that little Benjamin Button fucking Hezbollah kid. Look up Marvin Eastman versus Vitor Belfort. Look up Mark Coleman versus freaking Pete Williams, man. Do your history. Crack open your MMA history book, damn it.
Benjamin.
That little fucking tic-tac, man. Anyway, all right. Sorry.
Did you see the video where they put him on a roller coaster?
Yeah, I did. It's funny. That one and the karate girl, they're kicking the water bottle back and forth. It's so stupid. All right, man. Co-main event of the evening, Davison Figueiredo, the rematch, taking on Brandon Moreno. Figueiredo is at 21-1. 20 wins, one loss, one draw. Brandon Moreno, 18-5-2. Getting after it, man. Let's run through these here. Let's see here. I got to make sure I get the right banner up here for this one. Figueiredo, -225 against Brandon Moreno, and a +185 over and around is 4.5, -120 on the over under at 4.5 there, Soup. I think that the odds makers got this one right. The big story coming out after the fact, Davison Figueiredo, prior to the fight with Brandon the first time, was hospitalized, was in bad shape, came on and still put on the performance that he did. This time he says he's never felt better. He's ready to rock and roll. He's ready to get things done. I think that this is the one line when I'm looking at this whole thing where I don't want to touch it at all as far as like where I think Vegas put it. I think they're dead to rights on this.
Yeah.
Figueiredo -225. I love him at this price, and I love him as a parlay piece. I really think he finishes Brandon Moreno here.
I was going to say, if you're going to play his money line, I'd throw him in a parlay. If not, I like him at a +140 by finish. Last time they fought, 2 weight cuts in 3 weeks for Davison Figueiredo.
Yeah.
He's a bigger dude. I mean, he cuts more weight than Brandon Moreno does. That had to take a toll on his body. And we were one illegal low blow away from a unanimous decision. Yes, we had a draw. Brandon Moreno stood there and took every overhand right. His chin is steel.
Yeah.
But we were one illegal blow from a unanimous decision for Figueiredo. And with all this time to prepare and not having to cut weight, you know, twice in 3 weeks and not being hospitalized, I'm going to say Figgy by second round knockout.
Yeah.
I think he finishes him in devastating fashion, because you can get – I mean, yeah, Brandon Moreno looked great, and he took a lot of shots, but at the same point in time, that's got to play a role. He left that fight a different person than what he entered.
Mm. I think they both did. I think it's safe to say that both of them, much like a Zhang Weili-Joanna fight, they're both leaving separate, right? They're both leaving different than when they got in. And this is of no disrespect to Brandon Moreno, but if we're talking about just objectively picking winners and losers, I think Davison Figueiredo is going to win this fight. I love Brandon Moreno. Brandon Moreno has made me a lot of money. I like him quite a bit. But to your point, I really think that that's one of those fights where you're not the same afterwards. And I don't care if both of those men have chins of steel going into that fight. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to have it in this one. That's a lot of head trauma in a very short period of time. I would have loved to have seen both of these men take at least a year off before getting right back into it. But these little dudes, they're going right back at it. They're going to cut a bunch of weight. They're going to go back at it again. They're going to hit each other in the face. High stakes punch face where the stakes have never been higher. The flyweight strap is on the line. It's going to be a banger of a fight. I think that Figgy gets it done, but dude, I will not be shocked at all at a Brandon Moreno win. I feel confident in Figueiredo, but nothing can surprise me with these two. It was surprisingly competitive the first time they fought. The surprise of that is going to wear off because we know what to expect now. We expect fireworks. I'm excited for this one. Still going Figueiredo, and I still like him as a parlay piece, and I love him as a parlay piece with this main event of the evening. Israel Adesanya taking on the Italian Dream, Marvin Vettori. Dude, bro,
you're doing it.
I am going to do it. I'm going to, you're absolutely fucking right. I'm going to do it. I'm 100% going to do it. Israel Adesanya minus 265 taking on Marvin Vettori plus 205 over under rounds is at 4.5. The blueprint has been out. Jan Blachowicz followed it to a T. Marvin Vettori will take what his Caucasus Mountain Warrior brethren has done before him, and he will implement it flawlessly and leave no doubt he is the undisputed 185-pound champ of the world. Marvin Vettori is beating Israel Adesanya on Saturday night. I don't care. He's beating him. So, Italian Dream is coming true. Yo, Adrian, we did it. Italians, rise up.
You've been a, you know, you've always mentioned the size of the octagon and how it plays a difference in fights.
100% does.
So you don't think that Izzy being in the regular size octagon, it's going to give him more room to maneuver?
Oh, it definitely plays to his favor. But so I still don't think the outcome's going to change.
So I agree with you. The blueprint's been laid. Izzy's weakness has been showed.
Yeah.
And Vettori exposed it in the third round of their first fight.
Sure. 100%. Great
point. I mean, 100%. He won the third round. Yeah. I don't think that was a split decision. I think Izzy took rounds one and two and Vettori took round three. I thought it should have been unanimous for Izzy.
Okay.
But Izzy's one of those guys that I just can't bet against. I know he lost to Jan, but the size and the strength difference between Jan and Marvin Vettori, I told myself coming into this, I wasn't going to say that Adesanya was going to lose. But
here's the thing. Here's the thing. While you're contemplating your point, I will tell you this. Right? What is the blueprint? If we're gonna be mad scientists and we're gonna go into a lab, what's the first skill that you're going to equip your fighter with?
Wrestling.
Exactly.
I know.
What's the second skill you're going to give him? What's the second attribute? You're going to give him cardio.
Oh, cardio. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Right? Okay.
Well, with wrestling, I associate cardio because you can't wrestle unless you have good cardio.
You're going to give him wrestling. You're going to give him cardio. And you're going to give him heart. You're going to give him grit. You're going to give him determination. Right. You're going to give him an inability to be unfazed by bleeding. And Marvin Vettori is that. Is Israel Adesanya striking next level? Of course. Does he live in the Matrix? Probably. Can he beat 99% of the roster? Sure. But styles make fights. There's a reason why people say that. And stylistically, this is a nightmare for him. The same way Blachowicz was a nightmare for him. Marvin Vettori is Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street, nightmares incarnate. He's coming for him. He's going to snatch his soul in broad daylight. Israel Adesanya is shook. He's wearing his little weird like silk robe with his dyed hair and his weird fucking green chain and all that shit that he's doing, acting all kinds of crazy. Did you see the interview? He can't even put together a coherent trash talk insult. He's got nothing. Vettori is living rent free in that dude's head. Rent free.
So, all right, I'm not going to pick a fighter here. I'm saying over 3.5.
Over 3.5. Alternate line. I can dig it.
Over 3.5 on FanDuel right now is a -155.
Okay. I love that.
So yeah, I like over 3.5. Izzy's 6 out of his last 9 fights have gone to decision. Vettori 8 out of his last 9 have gone to decision.
Yep.
I'll take the over 3.5 in case there's a late, you know, a late fifth round for finish or something. I don't want to get screwed by the 4.5. So yeah, over 3.5. That's fine.
Perfect. I'm going to address something in the comments real quick. This comment right here, Jan was 30 pounds heavier. You know this. guy who loves beer, because you listen to our show all the time. I don't fucking care that he was 30 pounds over. No participation trophies here. You showed up at 198. That's your fucking fault. You show up at the weight. You know what you're doing. You showed up and you got worked. I don't care that you're 30 pounds over. You signed on the dotted line. You knew what the stipulations were, and you showed up 35 pounds lighter than the guy you were going to fight. You got fucked up. That's the way it is. Doesn't change what's going to happen this fight. The blueprint's out there. You're going to get wrestled. You're just going to get mauled. Italian, there's not many bears in Italy. I don't think there was any bears in Italy. I don't know. Jake, can you look up the last time there was a bear in Italy? I don't think there was, outside of a zoo, I don't think there are any. There's one. There's at least one. His name is Marvin Vittori. I know he lives in California now, trains out of King's MMA, but whenever he goes back to Italy, he's the only bear left in the country. So,
Jake, can you personally look up how many guys it takes to fight a grizzly bear?
Yeah, Jake, how many guys does it take to kill a grizzly bear with their bare hands? Hey, fun fact for those of you that don't know, we got a guest coming on. I'm gonna bring him in here in 35 seconds. But producer Jake and I, we've only had one argument in our entire life, and it was over how many men it would take to kill one whole grizzly bear. So a prime grizzly bear living its best life in the wild, how many men with their bare hands would it take to kill a grizzly bear? Producer Jake said over 1,000.
I think I think he had a zero into that. I'm pretty sure he said 10,000.
I think he said 1,000. Jake said 10,000. He's indicating from the back it would take 10,000 men. 10,000. I said it would be way less than 10,000. So Instagram poll, we're going to run it out there. Is it over under 10,000 grown men with their bare hands to kill a grizzly bear? I'm going to say it's something to the tune of about, I don't know. I'd feel confident in about 100.
Yeah.
So, that's where I'd feel my most comfortable.
Unless it was 108 Diaz's.
Unless it's 108 Diaz, then they're just going to rip apart like tissue paper. It'll be like a toddler going through their birthday gifts. They'll just be shit flying everywhere. All right. Chat says, Jake said, endangered brown bears live in Italy. And then the Marsican brown bear. Interesting. Okay. So we're going to do all the prelim fights, but my man's been waiting in the wings for a long time. So we're going to do something different. Like I said, Trey's not here tonight, so I do whatever I want whenever he's not here. And this is what I wanted to do. So we have a longtime listener of the show, a guy who's won a couple contests with us before. But his name's Corey. And Corey has started entertaining the idea of starting his own handicapping podcast. Now, I thought this would be a great night to have Corey come on and just try it out, see what he thinks, because Soup, this is how you and I started. You and I decided we wanted to do a handicapping podcast years ago, Fistful of Cash. And for those of you who are unaware of the genesis story here, of Punch List, Trey was a listener of our show, Fistful of Cash, a few years ago. Trey listened to our show, really liked it, and decided he wanted to start his own podcast after talking to us. He started his own show called Proper Punches, which was like a TMZ MMA style show, put out about 20 episodes or so of that. At that time, you went back to school, had some kids, did all that kind of stuff. So time weren't working out. So Trey
cucked me and took my seat.
Trey cucked you and took your spot. We switched the name to Punch List MMA. And then you've been watching in the wings like a true cuck this entire time, man. So now it only makes sense that we pay it forward a little bit more. Now we've got another guy that says, hey, man, I would love to start a podcast. I want to give it a whirl. I also like your show. I like MMA. What did you think? And I was like, this is a perfect opportunity to let you stretch your wings there, little butterfly. So we're going to bring in Corey here. He hasn't picked out a name of a show yet, but that's okay. He's going to come on. We're going to go out of order, producer Jake. He's going to come on. We're going to break down the JoJo Calderwood versus Lauren Murphy fight. So without further ado, let's bring in my man, Corey.
What's up, Dale? My friend?
What's going on, man? How are you? Thanks for coming on the show.
No, thank you, sir. It's a pleasure. Trust me.
I think we got to get Jake. Are you moving him over? You want me to move him over? I'm sorry. I know you're trying to do it, man. I'm sorry. So, producer, there we go. Oh. Outstanding.
All right. No,
you're in the featured seat, man. You're in the featured seat.
Awesome. Front row, front center, man.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Awesome. So like I've given you about as much of an intro as I possibly can. I really want to bring something to the attention real quick because I'm a degenerate gambler. The only person that beats me as far as degeneracy is concerned, my late night Russian table tennis betting partner, is this guy right above me here, my brother Soup. I would, if you wouldn't mind, regale us of what happened once you put on an official punch list shirt. What was that? What happened after you put on the punch list shirt?
Oh, the worst question you could have asked me, because I was thinking about that when I first put it on. As you guys can see, I'm rocking it. We swept the card that night. I want to say we went 9-0. I wish I could remember exactly which fight night that was. Probably had a few too many beers that night. But yes, the first night I got it on a Friday, I had been begging Trey for weeks after I missed the podcast a couple of days and then heard my name and was like, oh shit, that's me. Damn.
Yeah.
So I got it on that Friday. We ended up sweeping the card. So I have yet to wash this shirt. I'm very superstitious. As you can see, I'm a Philly fan.
Right.
Definitely superstitious when it comes to gambling. So this shirt, it doesn't smell yet, but we're trying to ride the roll here on it.
Yeah. I don't think it's got any antimicrobial things. Allegiance does a lot for their shirts. I don't necessarily know if there's any antifungal, antimicrobial. So maybe at a certain point, you might want to give it a little wash.
It does breathe well, though.
It does breathe well. It does breathe well for sure. All right. So I gave you your pick of any fight on the card. And like true capper fashion, you said, I want something with some plus money action.
Yes.
You didn't want any of this minus 475 Bilal Muhammad, Nate Diaz, Leon Edwards bullshit. You wanted as close to even money as you can get. So yes. Joanne Calderwood, minus 145.
Taking on
Lauren Murphy, plus 125. Over under runs is at 2.5. Sir, the floor is officially yours.
Listen, first of all, this is one of my favorite kind of fights because you go down through your card, you start looking through the pluses and minuses, and you look for the fights that you know the book's got it wrong. And personally, I really think they got this one wrong. I think JoJo should be the dog. I honestly think the only thing she's got in favor for is the big cage. The first thing I did have to look for when I started breaking down this fight was what if they'd be in the small cage, large cage. And being in Glendale in a little bigger cage, I do see how it can be in her favor. But I truly think she's one of the most inconsistent flyweights we've seen. And I really think Lauren Murphy's coming in here she's going to make a statement. She's on a 4-fight win streak. I think JoJo is win-loss, 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 like the last 4 or 5, I want to say. I really think Murphy's going to come in with the pressure. And if you know anything about Muay Thai fighters, which that's, you know, JoJo's main background, they need space, they need timing, they need rhythm. I think Lauren's about to shut that down the whole night. I think she's going to be in her face. I really think she's going to have – I mean, she's going to have to. If she wants to win this, she's going to make it dirty. She's got to grind it out. And honestly, aside from this being a dog, I want to tell you, I think you remember a couple weeks ago I shouted you out. We hit on Priscilla Cachuera, if I say her name right, on the TKO. You called it, my friend, and I bet it, plus 600. Well, I was going down the line, and I've noticed two different things about this fight I really like, aside from the fact I think Murphy's just going to smash her for at least 3 rounds. But 3 of the 5 losses that JoJo has are via submission. Now, granted, they are by people. They're more submission artists. You know, Jennifer Maya, that's an obvious one. That's what she's going for. But I was going down through the lines, and I saw Lauren Murphy by sub, plus 2,600, Dale. Plus 2,600. If she's going to do anything, she's going to try to drag her into some deep waters. And the one thing you know about women is there's more submissions than TKOs and knockouts, aside from a few people here and there. And tell me you can't sprinkle $5, $10 on that. Plus 2,600. But bottom line is you can get her inside the distance at plus 650. So then you're safe either side. Now, granted, the decision is probably what happens. That's your safe play. Lauren Murphy, underdog straight up. Lauren Murphy via decision. Those are your two smart plays. But we're here to make money, Dale. We're here to make some money. And I can promise you, Saturday night, I'm going to have a small sprinkle at plus 2,600. I think it's going to be the fourth submission that happens in JoJo's career. Or the submission loss, sorry.
Scared money don't make no money.
Yes, my friend.
That's right. Scared money don't make money. All right, Soup, what do you feel? Corey laid it out. I feel like this is an astute, well-rounded argument. Are you with him or are you against him?
I'm looking at my paper here, and it's kind of scary because I have 3 things circled on my paper here. I have Lauren Murphy at a plus 120 circled. I have the under 2.5 circled at a plus 225. And I have Lauren Murphy by submission on FanDuel at +2600. You know I'm all about the crazy big wild plays. I believe, and I'm, you know, this is my claim to fame as far as the MMA podcast goes. The last show that we officially did together, Dale, was Anthony Smith and Volkan Oezdemir. And I called Anthony Smith by third round submission.
You did. He nailed the round and the submission. Yeah, it was pretty weird.
And it happened. And then in comes Trey. It's amazing. I don't understand what happened. But, yeah, I love the Lauren Murphy play.
No, and I'll tell you one other thing that I want to point out that's very interesting to me, because she does have 8 TKOs, speaking of Lauren Murphy. And one thing I saw two fights ago that kind of shocked me. Now, she's not the greatest fighter in the world, but I've always called her the Grim Reaper of the women's flyweight division. Roxanne Modafferi, when she fought Lauren Murphy damn near dropped her.
Yeah.
She stumbled her. And that would have, you know, I'm just saying, it's the power's there. She may not want to stand and strike with her. That's part of the reason why I think she's going to drag her down. And the submission may be there. If she puts too much pressure in there, she might roll it over, belly down, and the neck's going to be there. Just +2600. Lock it up.
Lock it up. All right. So here's the thing. First of all, you know me. I'm a man of science. I'm not a learned doctor, but I am a man of science. And we all know that women's underdogs, scientific at this point. You have to play a women's underdog. And if you're going to tell me that Lauren Murphy has a submission prop available at +2600, you could say less. I need nothing else. I was going to bet Lauren Murphy to begin with. Although, real quick, at the risk of objectifying, which we do from time to time on the show, Joanna Calderwood is a sneaky babe. A sneaky babe. And she's got a Scottish accent, which is very, I mean, little mousy
maybe,
accent.
Maybe the accent, but I don't know.
Yeah, all right. So here's the thing. Lauren Murphy, it's amazing that you, so were you saying Roxanne is the Grim Reaper or Lauren Murphy's the Grim Reaper?
Roxanne, because I remember, I want to say it was three fights ago, I got her at like +850, told a whole lot of people. I was like, you just don't, this is one of those fights. It's a women's fight, coin flip as always.
Right.
But Roxanne is one of those that'll drag it, make it ugly. And some people don't want to do that. And when I watched her almost drop her, I mean, she's probably one of the most durable women in MMA. Speaking of Modafferi again.
Yeah.
But Lauren put a pounding on her and she almost finished her. So either way, I like the inside of the distance play, to be honest. But that +2600, I can't pass it up, Dale.
So here's where it's at. So this is why I say that JoJo's a sneaky babe, is exactly what you're talking about. The ability to want to push past the blood, the guts, the grit, and everything else. You see girls like JoJo, like Michelle Waterson, that are, they're more feminine than a lot of your female fighters, right? They're more effeminate features. They're more feminine outside the cage. They tend to get pieced up in fights, right? They tend to get bloody. And then when they get bloody, they tend to check out. They'll keep fighting. Michelle Waterson is one of the toughest chicks on the roster, but once you get her leaking, victory is almost imminent after that. She sort of shuts it down, you know, shortly thereafter. So it's one of those things where JoJo, she's been in some dogfights, she's been in some wars, but once she starts getting dominated, once the pace is put on her, once the damage is inflicted, she kind of puts it into autopilot and she waits for something magical to happen. Lauren Murphy, to your point, arguably has an argument right now for a title shot. Lauren Murphy could very well, in a division that has essentially been cleared out, be making a case for a title shot. If she beats JoJo, she's the clear-cut number one contender. In my opinion, she was already that. But here's the thing. When she beats Joanna Calderwood on Saturday night, there's no denying her. Lauren Murphy will be getting a title shot sometime around the end of the year because she's going to beat JoJo, and she's going to beat her by submission. This has never happened before. We're going to lock. Dude, you want to freaking lock? Soup, you want to lock in a play? You want to lock in a play of the night?
I have my play of the night.
Isn't it, though?
All right. No.
All right. We'll go with the special guest play of the night.
It's not Drew Dober.
You're fucking messing. All right. Anyway, so Corey, we'll lock in Corey's play of the night. We'll put that on the Instagram as well. So Corey, Lauren Murphy by submission +2600. When that smacks on Saturday, make sure we'll put your Venmo in the Instagram story, man. We'll
throw your tipping me.
Yeah, we'll throw the Venmo in there. So Lauren Murphy by submission Saturday night. She's taking out JoJo. Look, man. So this is your first soiree into the podcast world. What do you think?
Well, real quick, I do have to say one thing. If anything, Saturday night,
most of us, we waste $5-$10 a year, a month on a lottery card, lottery scratch off at the gas station. Mm-hmm. 26-1 odds. Go put $5 on that at least. You're walking away with 100. Come exactly. on.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's scratcher money right there. I like it. I like it. You'll hear no argument from me. Listen, Corey, I appreciate you coming on the show. It was last minute, man. You came on. You killed it. As soon as you get your logistics worked out for your show, we'll be happy to promote it and push people to you as much as we possibly can, man.
Well, before you cut them, I got some questions.
Oh, you got some? Oh, go.
I see the Eagles hat.
These are going to be aggressive.
No, it's not. I know this is an MMA podcast, but when we started out, I brought the basketball, the football, and the hockey handicapping to the podcast. So you're a Philly fan, like all across the board?
Oh yeah. Well, no, not all across the board. I'm a diehard Eagles fan. Brian Dawkins was my hero. Got to meet him when I was younger at a little camp, and that's who I wanted to be playing football, and just that was my guy. But my dad was a Philly fan, enjoyed it. It's just it's kind of stuck with me.
Go ahead. My question is Jalen Hurts, quarterback of the future, yes or no?
Listen, it's a tough one. I will say I was a Carson Wentz guy, man. I've got coworkers that still dog me to this day about Nick Foles. I mean, I was a big Carson Wentz guy. I think he got disrespected, but we'll see this year. I will say I've taken the over. I want to say Vegas put us out at 6.5. I'll take that all day. We can get 8 or 9 wins.
Especially in that division.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, our division's trash. So that's the one thing we have going for us. But I mean,
Cowboys will underperform like they do every year. Yeah. I like the over 6.5. Absolutely.
No, that Devontae Smith draft pick, that's the one thing I think that can help Hurts. We passed up DK Metcalf. We passed up Justin Jefferson in the last two seasons. I mean, Wentz should have had weapons, but we'll see what we do with Jalen. I'm excited for it. It's this new age of the mobile quarterback that nobody thought could work in the NFL, and suddenly they are. So we'll see. Yeah. I'm hopeful.
All right. And one thing, this comes from myself deep down. And our producer Jake behind the scenes, fuck the Flyers. That's we're from Pittsburgh. We're Penguins fans. Just the Fly. Yeah,
that's fair. I'm born and raised in Tennessee, and the Predators. Okay. I've become a bandwagon Predators fan the last couple of years, so I can fuck the Flyers all day. I'll go with you on that.
All right, we'll keep it moving. All right, Corey, appreciate you, man. Feel free if you want to hang out behind the scenes, you can do no so. Problem. If you want to roll out, that's up to you, man. All right,
thanks
appreciate
again,
you,
guys. See you, man. Appreciate it.
Man, we get good people on the show, man. I'll tell you what, man, we get.
He's all right.
Yeah, listen, here's what's fun, right? Is that we get a lot of messages throughout the week. We get a lot of emails. I mean, you remember this stuff. You get like 35% people that are freaking Looney Tunes, and then you get like 40% of the people that actually know their shit. And then there's like this weird 25% where you just don't know if they're kind of crazy or if they do or whatever. It's always refreshing whenever you talk to somebody or you have somebody that you interact with that you know knows what they're talking about. Like, I'm going to provide a succinct argument. I'm going to show you what I am capable of. I'm going to meet your points with counterpoints. Dude, that's so refreshing, man, because there's a lot of people that want to do shit like this until it comes to time to do shit like this. And then they're like, man, I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Right. So come Corey, prepared, sure do your thing. So
I'm sure you're still listening. When you do start your podcast, if you're looking to branch out and not only do MMA and you want to talk, football or anything like that, see, I'm an open co-host.
See, look at that. We're just a
free agent.
We're like, this is like the, what's the blind date or whatever, you know what I mean? Just kind of hang out behind the scenes, talk to each other, and contestant number one, tell me what your favorite food is kind of shit. All right. Okay. So we gotta get this thing back on the rails. And we're going to bring this back around. Okay. So JoJo was like middle of the prelim card, no big deal. So we're going to start at the bottom, work our way up to the top. Featured prelim is going to be Drew Dober versus Brad Riddell. We're saving the best for last, as we always do. All right. Fat Jake Collier at 12-5, taking on Carlos Felipe at 10-1. I'm going to keep calling him Fat Jake Collier. I know it's disrespectful to the guy, but he's portly. He's more portly than Parker Porter, who's a big boy. So we've got that going for us right now.
That's what happens when you're a 185er and you move up to heavyweight.
I think he was a 170.
Jesus.
I think Jake Collier, if I'm not mistaken, this is – oh, man. All right. So here's the weird – okay. Here's the weird Dale MMA muscle working again. I remember Jake Collier. I don't know if it was 170 or not. Maybe it was 185. I can't remember. Hold on a second. I got to look real quick. Maybe it was 185. I think it was. Jake Collier walks out to Rob Bailey in the Hustle Standard for one of his fights. One of the first fights I saw him. I think it was the fight he got knocked out by Vitor Miranda. Okay. He walks out, and it's I don't know if you've ever listened to Rob Bailey in the Hustle Standard. It's some of the worst music on the planet Earth. It's awful. It's absolutely awful. So I don't understand what this is. I'm listening to it. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I hit up Brian, who you know, Brian. And I'm like, Brian, this Rob Bailey guy is supposedly some sort of weightlifter. Do you know what this is? And he's like, Rob Bailey and the Hustle Standard. I fucking love those guys. They make amazing music.
I'm not sure.
I love Brian with my whole entire heart, but he was singing the praises of this band. I'm going to encourage all of you right now to not listen to any of it. It's awful. And because of that, Jake Collier has remained in my mind his entire career, because I'm like, that's the guy that walked out to Rob Bailey in the Hustle Standard. And that's how I got introduced to them for the brief time that I was introduced to them, because Brian was like, I love their music. So Brian loved them. Jake Collier loved them. I didn't like it at all. Brian knows I don't like them at all, but it is what it is. That's how I remember who Jake Collier is, because of that. That's a story that's not irrelevant. That's just a story between me and you that now everybody knows.
Jake Collier looks like I should have graduated with him at Butler.
Jake Collier absolutely looks like
with a cutoff t-shirt.
Jake Collier looks like 90% of the dudes that I had when I worked in the prison.
Yeah.
Like, he's just weird, patchy, pube beard, bad tattoos. You're not sure what his hygiene situation's like. You know, it is what it is, right? But yeah. So Jake Collier, Carlos Felipe, Jake Collier came in. His last fight looked a lot better than he did in the Tom Aspinall fight. Made me look silly, because Aspinall made him look silly the first time. Came out, looked light on his feet, was throwing together combinations, looked good. But he's taken on a Carlos Felipe here, whose head is the size of Luis Guzman's, this gigantic watermelon in between his shoulders, and he's got lunchbox for fists. He's going to be there kicking. He's going to be there punching. I like this fight to end inside the distance, man. I don't think necessarily that Jake Collier is going to knock out Carlos Felipe, but I think Carlos Felipe has a real opportunity at knocking out Jake Collier here.
Okay, that's interesting.
There's no wrestling taking place in this fight, so you've got heavyweights punching each other for 15 minutes, so the likelihood of a knockout is high.
Now, Carlos Felipe has screwed me once. I bet Justin Toffa, and he was winning the fight in the first round, and then I don't know what happened. I don't think anything was ever said, but he was dominating him with leg kicks. And I'm assuming he hurt his foot at some point in that fight, and because he completely went away from it, and Felipe took advantage of it. He gets outstruck, but when he lands, he lands.
Right.
And I like, so what inside the distance would probably be a +100 in this fight, because I think the under 2.5 is at a +120. So the
under 2.5 is a +130. Yeah, over 2.5 at a -160 actually.
Yeah, so inside the distance, probably around a +100, +105, something like that.
Yep.
Two big guys. They both, for bigger guys, they both have, you know, impressive gas tanks for bigger guys.
For bigger guys, for sure. Yes. Yeah.
So I don't see a sloppy third round. If it does go to the third, I still think that there's going to be some, you know, heavy shots thrown. So I can get behind the inside the distance play. I like that.
I almost like if inside the distance is coming at plus money, I almost like that more than an individual play, because then you're just watching the fight hoping for a finish rather than picking a side. Especially if you're going on the Carlos Felipe side at that -170, go inside the distance and just hope for an exciting fight. Keep in mind something that we like that is a factor. It wasn't a factor that we ever had to encounter before outside of Brazilian cards, but it is something that we have to factor in now. This is an event with a live audience in attendance. Glendale sold out in a matter of minutes. And we have seen, since the return to live audiences, the finish rate is through the roof. Unders are probably going to have a field day. Vegas, for all their knowledge, has probably screwed up a little bit here. I know you said that the one fight, there's actually no, you said that there's no fights on the prelims at all that aren't favored to end inside the distance. There's correct. No way we get through an entire prelim card without several finishes. There are going to be finishes. You got to identify where they're going to be.
Yeah.
Two shorter, heavier heavyweights that don't have any interest in wrestling that are going to be there punching each other in the face is about as good of a chance as you're going to get to make some plus money on this card.
So, yeah. And anytime you can get, heavyweights in general at plus money inside the distance, regardless of who to, you know, regardless of who the two heavyweights are, it's an enticing bet.
Sure,
Vegas might know that. It might be a sucker bet. I'm a sucker. I'm taking it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm getting on board with that. All right, man. Next fight, Luigi Vendramini taking on Firas Ziyam. Ziyam's at 11-3. Luigi Vendramini is at 9-1. This is a great fight. Good opportunity to make some money here, in my opinion. Luigi Vendramini is a plus 115. Firas Ziyam, it is a minus 135. Over on rounds at 2.5. I don't understand why this isn't more favored to the side of Vendramini. Am I crazy here? Am I crazy in thinking that they have this one wrong?
I think it has a lot to do with the fact that we only have 90 seconds to judge of Vendramini in the UFC.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yes,
performance of the night, it was fantastic. But I would, he's not as technical. He's going to be undersized. He's not going to have a reach advantage. I think that's Vegas's mindset behind setting this line. You go the experience versus the flashiness and the highlight. But
yeah, okay. You look at who he's fought.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Sure. But here's the thing. Like, you look at who he's fought, right? Aleksei Dos Santos is his loss. And you and I are both huge on Easy Dos Santos. Have been since he made his Octagon debut. Even before that, we had him pegged as a prospect to watch. I have a hard time not betting on Easy Dos Santos every single time that he fights. So if I look at his loss to Easy, I'm not upset with that. And Jessen Ayari, that's the guy that he needs to beat. And in my mind, if I'm playing the skill hierarchy, you know, the level of hierarchy as skills go, Jessen Ayari is a Firas Ziyam. They are the same level as skill. So if I can get Luigi Vendramini not taking a step up in competition and fighting a guy the same skill of what he just beat and did so with relative ease, and I can get him at plus money, I'm going to take Luigi Vendramini. Yeah. Now, that being said, Firas Ziyam has more experience than him, and he's probably faced a higher level of competition. All that being said,
but everybody starts somewhere.
And he's just, I think the physicality of Luigi Vendramini is going to be a problem. I don't necessarily know that if he's going to have the better gas tank, if this fight makes it to the latter half of the fight, but I really think that I'm not crazy high on Vendramini here, but I really like him at plus money. I think that this should, honestly, if this was flipped, I would think that they have it right. Probably a pick 'em come fight time.
Yeah, I mean, it's virtually a pick 'em as it is. I mean, a minus 135, it's not like you're laying ridiculous juice if you want to go the opposite side.
Sure.
And it's not like Vendramini's a huge dog. So it's when it comes down to, you know, nickels and dimes, it's basically a pick 'em as it is. And yeah. Okay. I'm aboard.
All right.
Vendramini as a dog. So we got two plus money plays to start the early prelims.
There we go. All right. Here's another great one for you. Steven Peterson at 18-9, taking on Chase Hooper at 10-1. Chase Hooper with obvious holes in his game, but is lethal on the ground. Taking on Steven Peterson, not great at anything, pretty good at everything. But really puts himself in bad position after bad position after bad position. If it stays standing, I like Steven Peterson to win this fight.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, if it stays standing.
If Chase Hooper can get him to the ground, it's not even it's over with.
Right.
This is an under 2.5 play. Yeah. I don't understand why this one isn't at 1.5. I think that Vegas would see a lot more action on this fight if it was at 1.5, because we have clear-cut paths to victory here. Chase Hooper, take him down. Steven Peterson, don't be taken down.
Yeah.
Either one of those, whoever executes their game plan is going to
win.
And they're going to finish the other person.
Right.
They're going to finish him. Chase Hooper will get knocked out if he cannot take Steven Peterson down.
And like you said, the ground advantage goes to Chase Hooper. He's been training with his dad, Ben Askren.
Right. Yeah.
It's just trying to think here where I don't feel comfortable picking either side because, like you said, whoever executes wins this fight. Mm-hmm. So this is another one where you play the under and you cheer for a finish.
Which the under is at a pick'em as well. Under 2.5, yeah. Is it even money? Or not even money, but it's minus 115.
Minus 115, yeah.
So we'll go under 2.5. Let's just keep piling it on with this car.
Yeah, keep fading Vegas and let's just go the under.
That's it. We're just going to go under.
Just ride the under.
All right, man. Panny Kianzad taking on Alexis Davis. Alexis Davis at 20-10. Panny Kianzad at 14-5. Again, it's science. Alexis Davis plus 166 taking on Panny at minus 191. Over on rounds is at 2.5. Alexis Davis came out and looked great in her last fight, man. I thought she was washed, but she came out and looked great. She took out a killer last time out, man.
If she comes out with the same strategy that she came out with against Sabina with the leg kicks, I really like her odds in this fight.
Yeah.
I really, really like her odds. But then again, I don't like the under. No,
in this one, when you're playing women's dogs, dude, you just play the women's dog. Take the plus money and just get out of here. So
unless Alexis it's Lauren Davis, Murphy.
Unless it's Lauren Murphy.
Plus 2,600 by submission.
By submission. Lauren Murphy plus 2,600 by submission. Shout out to Corey for bringing that to our attention. Appreciate you for finding that value, man. That's a great play. We're all going to be playing it, hoping it smacks. But listen, man, I'm not going to camp on this one too long. Alexis Davis has a wealth of experience. She looked great against Sabina Mazza. She came out, executed a game plan, let Sabina wear herself out while beating up the lead leg. She comes out and does the same thing against Panny Kianzad. She's going to win the fight. Panny can, throw hands with the best of them, has a win over Jessica Rose Clark. She's well-rounded. She does have a well-rounded skill set. Alexis Davis, though, has a wealth of experience, has only fought the best in the world for probably the last 10-plus years. Panny really just does not have the level of competition that Alexis Davis has. I'm going to lean on the experience of Alexis Davis and see if she can put together a win streak for the first time in fucking 7 years or whatever it's been. It's been a while since my girl put together a win streak.
And Alexis Davis puts out a good volume for a female fighter as well.
Sure.
She's gonna press you. She's gonna throw strikes. She forced Chukagian into actually exchanging.
Yeah.
It wasn't a snooze fest. She had to actually, punch back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you can force Chukagian into having to strike back, you can put a volume on pretty much anybody.
Yeah. I love it. I think this is a good fight for Alexis Davis. I'm excited to watch it. All right. Hakeem Dawodu taking on Movsar Evliov. Evliov at 14-0. Hakeem Dawodu at 12-1. This, ladies and gentlemen, dog. Listen to me when I tell you this. If you are going to watch any, if we're going to take this, if we're going to break this card up into three sections, right? The early prelims, the prelims, and the main card. This is the fight to watch on the early prelims. You can skip all of them except for this one. This has potential to be fight of the night. Movsar Evliov is an absolute animal, but he is taking on a freaking cyborg laser guided missile striker in Hakeem Dawodu, who is long and rangy and has good takedown defense and has good submission defense and hits like a fucking Mack truck. Movsar Evliov has got a gigantic hurdle in front of him in Hakeem Dawodu, who's coming off a loss to Rafael Fiziev, who I know he wants that one back. Or no, wait, Dawodu didn't fight Fiziev. I'm sorry. That was Mark DeCasey. I misspoke.
Dawodu's got one loss in the UFC, and it was when he got submitted by Danny Henry.
Yeah, I got those two mixed up. I got DeCasey and Dawodu mixed up. Doesn't change the way that I feel about either one of them, though. I just got the name wrong. I like Evliov until I see him lose at 14-0. Minus 230 is not a price that I particularly love. I don't want to say dog or pass because I might throw Evleyov in a parlay, but I'm not going to outright bet against him until I see him lose. But Dewadu's got a great chance here.
Yeah, I think this is the first disagreement we're having. I like Dewadu. FanDuel actually has him at a plus 220, ooh, which is a little bit higher than the odds than we're seeing here. So, yeah, I think this fight is closer to a pick'em. I think Dewadu would probably be like a plus 130, plus 140 in my mind. But I'm all about getting your money in at, you know, at better implied odds, better than what expected. Okay. And if I cap this at a plus 130 and I can get him at a plus 220, I have to take it. And I like Dewadu to win this fight at a plus 220.
Yeah, sometimes the odds can push you into a play. And if, right, if you can get Dewadu at plus over plus 200, sure. Why, if somebody said, hey, Dale, I got Hakeem Dewadu at a plus 220 against Movsar Evleyov. Okay. Yeah. I'm not mad at that at all. From a strictly winners and losers standpoint, right? So those that listen to the show for picking winners and losers, I like Evleyov in this fight. It's no secret to you. It's no secret to anybody that listens to me. I love wrestlers and I like guys with endless cardio that wrestle and can take a punch and come from the Caucasus Mountain region of the world. And Movsar Evleyov is that guy. I'm not going to bet against him until I see him lose. Hakeem Dewadu is a live dog. You want to talk about a guy that will fight for your money? This guy will fight for your money. You want a dog that will fight for your money? Hakeem Dewadu is that guy. That being said, so I'm still on Evleyov.
I'm a very analytical and numbers guy. So, like, at a plus 220, that gives Dewadu a 29% chance of winning this fight. Mm-hmm. And I view him at a higher chance of winning the fight than a 29% chance. I think 29 is super low.
Sure.
But, yeah. So, yeah, all right, we're our first disagreement of the night. Good. I'm glad we have one. I know we're going to have one more.
I know exactly where we're going to have one more, too. All right. So, we broke down Lauren Murphy versus Joanna Calderwood. We got that one already. And then Eric Anders. Freaking Trey messes that up and says Anders all the time. Eric Anders, Darren Stewart. They're running it back. Eric Anders is at 13-5. Darren Stewart at 12-6. Now, I'm going to tread lightly here because we have quite a few people that listen to our show from across the pond that like Darren Stewart quite a bit. That being said, I can tell that you're frozen right now, so I'm going to wait till you come back before I say anything really crazy because you're 100% frozen. Producer Jake, are you frozen as well? No, Producer Jake is not frozen. It's just our co-host in crime here that's frozen. All right, he got dropped there. Producer Jake's going to throw him back in. We got to remove the one, add the other. All right, now we're in that one. Look at you sitting there.
Armstrong internet.
There you go. That's all right, man. Western Pennsylvania. There it is. All right, cool.
There it is. We do have a thunderstorm, so that's why.
There you go. All right. Eric Anders at a minus 150. Darren Stewart at a plus 130. Overrunner rounds at 2.5. What I was saying is I'm going to tread lightly here as we break down this rematch because we have quite a few people that listen to us from across the pond that are very high on Darren Stewart. However, Eric Anders, in my opinion, never looked better than in that fight against Darren Stewart. I don't necessarily – here's the only thing that makes me nervous about this, right, is that you go, Eric Anders never looked better. Can he produce that type of performance back-to-back? Because that has been the knock on him his entire career is that he's a win-one, lose-one guy. So in a fight that he was arguably winning and doing so in devastating fashion, can he come out and replicate that again? Can he put it all together two times in a row? That's what I worry about when it comes to Eric Anders. Now, had Darren Stewart lost that fight and beat Eric Anders by some sort of controversial decision, and then they were going to bring it back and they were going to run it back again, I'm all over Eric Anders. But it makes me nervous trying to put Eric Anders in a position where I think he's going to win technically two fights in a row. That makes me nervous because Eric Anders ain't that guy. It's really not that guy. Hasn't been at least the last few years.
Can Darren Stewart win another Oscar?
He did act like crazy. I'm trying to be respectful, but it was bad.
It was a blocked knee. It was nowhere near as bad as like the Aljo and Peter Yan. It just happened to have 2 weeks afterwards. Mm-hmm. Eric Anders looked amazing. Not amazing compared to Pierce, but amazing for Eric Anders.
Yeah.
He looked so good. And going back and watching the replay, maybe he saw that and he looks and he says, you know, Darren Stewart took me away from a win. Yes, Eric Anders should not have thrown the knee by any means. You have to know it. I mean, you've been doing this for what, 7-8 years now. You've got to know. You have to know the rules. But if I like Eric Anders at a -150. You asked me for my play of the night, and mine is Eric Anders -150 here. Okay. I like it. I like it as a parlay piece. I like it straight up. I think he comes out. I think he's pissed off, and I think he writes the ship and he wins 2 in a row. Because he won the first fight, in my opinion.
I'd love to see
it. Although it's called a no contest, he won the fight.
Yeah. So here's the thing with Eric Anders is you're right. He's been doing this for a few years now. Obviously, he should know better. But if you think back on his career, he's had quite a few questionable moments. When we talk about the Tim Williams kick, those of you who have not seen Eric Anders kick Tim Williams' soul out of his body, I encourage you to go back and find that. Eric Anders was almost the first person to catch a body inside the octagon whenever he
kicked. Big money win for us.
Yeah, big money win for us. Absolutely was. You want to talk about a person that should be nicknamed the Grim Reaper. Tim Williams should be nicknamed the Grim Reaper. That guy looks like a villain from a Bond movie. He looks like a horror movie villain. That guy's terrifying looking. I'm sure he's a great guy, but terrifying to look at. Year-round Halloween mask, for sure. Anyway, so here's the thing, right, is that Eric Anders has flirted with that gray zone for a long time. And when he first kicked Tim Williams in the face, I know we both thought it was illegal because if his fingers are up, they're up by like just the most pubic hair of up. So you know full well when Eric Anders threw that kick, he gave zero shits as to whether or not his hands were down or not. He just threw the kick. So I understand that Eric Anders put himself in a position to lose that fight. He was winning. He could have done better, and he didn't. It is what it is. All right. I'll take Eric Anders. I don't know if it's my play of the night.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
All right.
So, featured prelim of the evening. We are not going to do the Matt Frivola, Terrence McKinney? Is that who they switched?
That's who they gave him.
Okay. So, for those of you who are unaware, Frank Camacho was involved in an auto accident today and has pulled out of the fight against Matt Frivola. We are not going to claim that as part of the punchless curse because Drew Dober alleviated Frank Camacho from the punchless curse. So that was out of our hands. We had nothing to do with that. That we are not associated with that auto accident at all. That was just some sort of weird universal thing that happened to Frank Camacho. Wish him all the best. Hope he's well. It is what it is. So we're not going to do
that. Was the original play of the night. Matt Frivola at a -185 over Frank the Crank we talked about it last month, and that was the play.
Yeah.
That was the play of the card. Pun intended, he was going to steamroll him.
Yeah, that was the play of the card. All right. Listen, Drew Dober, Captain America himself, taking on this fucking Vegemite chewing Brad Riddell at a -137, +117, more likely -125, +115, over and around is at 2.5. I know that you're firmly on the Brad Riddell side. No, you're not? Okay.
No, so, I'm just messing. You, right. If you stand with Drew Dober, you're getting put down. And yes. Brad Riddell's, he's not going to wrestle him like Dariush and Islam did. It's not going to happen. You stand with Drew Dober, it's going to end poorly for you.
It is going to end poorly for you. Real quick, we tried to do something tonight as well. We were going to have one of the boys from the Run It Back podcast on. And those of you who listen to our show know that we talk about them all a lot. They're essentially, I'm going to call them our brother podcast, more likely our sister podcast after Drew Dober beats Brad Riddell. But they are one of the people or one of the shows out there that we, you know, really love and adore and view as equal colleagues and really appreciate what they bring to the MMA landscape. It's a podcast based out of Australia. If you guys have not listened to the Run It Back podcast, I encourage you to do so. A lot of the stuff that you hear on our show, segment ideas and things like that, including the lie detector that we did on Drew Dober last week, that all comes from them. And they do it at a much higher production quality than we do because we do a live show, whereas they record and go back and edit it, and it's fantastic. It's really high quality. So I can't say enough about them. But anyway, they are firmly on Camp Riddell. We are firmly on Camp Dober. And we have a wager going where we are going to do almost like a Hot Ones style challenge. We're still working it out. based on the winner for this. So whether it's Trey and I eating, you know, insanely hot atomic wings on air, or them doing it for their show, that's essentially what we're kind of working with here. They had toyed around with the idea of like a donation to charity, but we figured it'd be more fun to torture each other. So we're going to do something along those lines. We're working on the logistics of it now. It'll be announced on Instagram Live later this week. We're going to go live with them. So if you don't follow them on Instagram, do so already at Run It Back Podcast. Or Run It Back MMA, Run It Back Podcast. I should have looked that up. It's Run It Back Podcast. But yeah, so check them out. We're going to do something with them. But anyway, they're firmly on Camp Riddell. We're firmly on Camp Dober. At least Trey and I are. Let's break down this fight. You said if you stand with Dober, you go to sleep. Is that how you think this fight's going to go down?
I do. In the under 2.5 at a plus 120, I think plus 120 or plus 125. So I would like, let me see what Dober is by knockout. But I do like Drew Dober to win this fight. What do you have at a minus 137?
Yeah.
It's not even necessary to parlay that. You're not paying ridiculous juice. You don't need to throw something else in that's going to screw this play up. I like Dober to win this fight. Unless Brad Riddell comes out and shocks the world and decides to drag him through the mud, which I don't see happening, I like Drew Dober's odds in a stand and bang fight.
I think Brad Riddell can wrestle, so I don't want
to
be
not to the level of Dariush and Islam.
Sure, yeah,
that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think Brad Riddell is an Alex Hernandez level wrestler. He can get takedowns when he's fresh, but if he can't do anything while he's fresh, he's not going to get them later on in the fight. So maybe round one he gets a takedown or two. I'm okay with that, but I don't see him. I don't see him submitting Drew. And I don't see him being able to employ some Gregor Gillespie style throttling. You got big eyes here, so I'm going to go ahead and say that Drew Dober by knockout somewhere in the plus 450 range.
Plus 475 on FanDuel.
Boy, oh boy, come on, man. I'm telling you, Dober by knockout. Listen, if you're going to play Dober, screw the juice, just take him by knockout. Then you got three rounds of him trying to do it. Why not? It's all plus money, bro. It's all plus and even money tonight.
Yeah, that's what I was checking here. All plus money. Okay.
It's all plus money. Trey's not here. I don't have to be responsible.
Go 50% and make a bunch of money.
Go 50% and make a bunch of money. All right. Let's run through these real quick. We're at the hour and a half mark. Let's run. We're just going to go through these real quick. I'll give you the fight. You tell me who and how. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Carlos Felipe versus Jake Collier.
Second round knockout, Carlos Felipe.
Okay, but the play is inside the distance.
Inside the distance. Oh, so Carlos Felipe inside the distance.
There you go. Firas Ziyam taking on Luigi Vendramini.
Vendramini.
Low confidence Vendramini.
Yes, low confidence Vendramini. Yeah. Okay.
Steven Peterson versus Chase Hooper.
Inside the distance.
Just inside the distance is the play. Yeah. Pani Kianzad taking on Alexis Davis.
Alexis Davis.
Women's underdog. Is it science, baby? Hakeem Dawodu versus Movsar Evloev.
I'm Dawodu. You are the opposite end.
Yes, I actually believe it's Evloev. I say it wrong all the time. I think it's actually Evloev. But yeah, I'm on Evloev. All right, Lauren Murphy versus Joanna. Why do I always want to call her Joanna? Joanne Calderwood.
JoJo.
JoJo. Just go JoJo.
Yeah, just make it simple.
Yeah, JoJo versus Lauren Murphy.
Lauren Murphy inside the distance. Lauren Murphy by submission.
What's that Lauren Murphy by sub prop at?
Plus 2,600.
Shout out to Corey for dropping that little nugget in our laps. Eric Anders, Darren Stewart.
Eric Anders, stamp it.
Drew Dober versus Brad Riddell.
Dober.
And by knockout, plus 475.
Plus 475.
Paul Craig, Jamahal Hill.
Jamahal Hill.
All right. Yeah, like I said, if you're on Craig, yeah.
Yeah, this was a dogger pass.
Yeah, this is dogger pass. If you're on Craig, yeah. Damian Maya, Bilal Muhammad.
Nacho plate.
Over
2.5.
Over 2.5 nachos.
Go the distance. Yeah, fight to go the distance, minus 135.
There you go. Leon Edwards versus Nate Diaz.
Leon Edwards by bloody massacre.
Leon Edwards by uncompetitive murder. Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno.
Figgy by knockout. And I'm going to bring up him in the second round here. because he's finished, but before the draw, he finished four fights in a row inside of two rounds. And I fully expect him to come out and just, let's see, method and round combo, Figueiredo by knockout in the second round. That's a plus 850. So I'm just going to go Figueiredo by finish at plus 150.
I love it. Israel Adesanya versus Marvin Vettori. I'm all over Vettori here. I'm on the dream, baby. I'm on the Italian dream. You can't tell me shit right now.
Over three and a half. If Vettori wins, it's going to be by dragging Adesanya through the mud.
He's going to drown him. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's a perfect recipe for an over. So that's good for Vettori. That's good for, over three and a half, minus 150.
I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, let's put a bow on this bad boy. Do you have any parting shots?
No.
Perfect. All right, guys, if you don't already do so, please follow us on all social media channels at Punchless MMA. That's Instagram. That's Twitter. You can email us if you want to, if you're into that kind of thing, chat@punchlessmma. Best way to support the show is by supporting the show sponsors. Go to stayclassymeats.com. Use promo code FIST. Save 10% on the entire thing. Go to allegianceclothing.com. Use promo code PUNCH. Save 15% site-wide. If you haven't already ordered your Tombstone Taylor Johnson official walkout tee with the Punchless logo on it, you've got one more week to do so. He's fighting June 25th on Bellator. Opponent to be determined later. But you can still go to Allegiance Clothing. You can still scoop up the shirt. You can still save 15% by doing so. That's the best way to support the show. If you don't want to support the show financially in any way, shape, or form, which you're not ever obligated to do, please consider leaving us a review. Consider subscribing. Consider sharing the show. Whatever it is that you want to do, all that good stuff. Anytime you like, click, subscribe, share, do any of that shit, it helps the algorithms. In particular, on iTunes. If you go to iTunes and leave that 5-star review, that helps us out a ton. If you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, put a notification, the whole deal, all that shit. There's some freaking douchebag that every time we schedule a live goes in and thumbs down it before the shit even happens. And I know who you are, you little fucking tool. And if I ever get my hands on you, I'm going to snap your neck. And I'm not an aggressive person anymore, but I'm telling you right now, when I see you, it's on sight, you little pencil neck dweeb. I'm fucking you up. Anyway, that's all I got. Anyway. Now that my blood pressure is rising, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate you stepping up on short notice. It means a lot that you did so.
I just want to put my Trey shirt on before I leave.
I love that you have
a Hawaiian shirt with the top button done.
Yeah. So real quick, again, this was a different show. Trey was not here. And Corey stepped in. We tried to get some other people to step in, but again, we're trying to throw something together last minute. The reason why Trey's not here, and I'm just going to say this, and he didn't give me permission to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway, right? Trey's not here because, and you probably noticed a downtick in our social media presence last week, because Trey's dog took a turn for the worse and ultimately had to be put down. So Trey is in a rough spot, understandably so. So he's dealing with that while we're handling this until he feels better on that end, which is something that we, most of us can probably, relate to in one way, shape or form. So, while you're getting over that, whenever that may be, Trey, there's absolutely no rush. You can come back whenever you want. We love you and we miss you. I will say this. I think it's awesome that, those of you that follow our show know that my dog of 14 years, Hoshi, we lost her 2 years ago. And then Kira, obviously, Trey lost this week. Our dogs, all dogs go to heaven. Our dogs got to meet in person before we did. So that's really cool. So I'm sure those two beach bums are kicking it up there, having a great time chasing tennis balls together. So thoughts and prayers to Trey and his family while they're dealing with that loss. We love you, man. We'll see you whenever you come back. If you guys have a dog, cat, hamster, whatever it is, or just a person that you love, give them a hug, give them a kiss, tell them you love them. Like I always say, be good to each other, and we'll see everybody next week.
Can I say it?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.